Hello, everyone. Welcome to Yachting International Radio. You're with Karine Rayson from the Crew Coach on the Wellbeing Project. So most of you would know, just to give you some context about why this is going to be an extraordinary interview today, in terms of we're going to talk about mental health, we're going to be very transparent and honest, and I'm going to be connecting with Sophie and Ryan. But the power of social media and speaking up, using your voice to speak up, can change lives, because what we're doing is normalizing some of the things that as individuals we face with every single day. So I am so excited that you're here, Sophie and Ryan, from Ryan and Sophie Sailing, to share with us your journey. And I believe you left the corporate world 3 years ago from Stockholm and then got into sailing, and you have so far traveled 13,000 nautical miles. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah. From Stockholm down to the Med, across the Atlantic and back.
Amazing. So just to hear a little bit about your background and journey, and why did you decide to leave the corporate life to do something so different?
Well, I think, so Ryan and I met 6 years ago, over 6 years ago now, yeah. In Stockholm, Sweden. We were both expats and we were both working. That's why we were living in Sweden at the time. We were both working for startups,
yeah,
which is, you know, another level of the corporate world. It's its own little culture, you know, in the corporate world. Ryan was a commercial director and I was doing sales. Yeah. So we both had salesy jobs, lots of meetings, lots of
travel.
Yeah. And when you and I met, I think that we really connected over adventures.
Right.
And our passion for adventures. Mm-hmm. And I think that very quickly when you and I met, we knew that we were going to do fun stuff together.
Yeah.
We just didn't know what.
Yeah. Sailing just kind of fell in our laps. There was an unfortunate injury that I had, and it required a lot of recovery time. And during that time, I was just sitting around on the computer one day and read a story about a couple named Matt and Jessica. They're still out sailing. And they sold everything and bought a boat. And Sophie and I had only been dating a few months. And I said, hey, would you do this? And she's like, yeah.
So
made plans right away. Yeah, we just made plans right away to take some sailing courses. We had no idea how to do it. And then right after the sailing course, I think it was a year to the date that I brought up the idea, we got delivery of our boat.
Yeah.
Our new to us boat, Polar Seal. So,
but this really came in the context of us, you know, hitting 10 years of working. Mm-hmm. And a few years prior to that, I had done a big burnout at work. So one morning I had woken up under my desk. I had passed out. I went to the hospital that afternoon and everything was fine. But the doctor started to ask me questions about my lifestyle and very quickly told me, you're not going to be able to do that again. It's never going to happen. And I spent 6 months at home recovering. And that was a really, really hard time where I fell into a deep depression. And a good day for me looked like I was able to get up in the morning, take a shower, eat, maybe walk 10 minutes around the block before going back. And that lasted for 6 months. And what I did after those 6 months is that I didn't quit my job. I went back to the exact same job, the exact same company.
Oh. Yeah.
And at that time, had somebody told me, listen, this does not make sense for you. You need to do something else. You need to think about your life in different terms and be more intentional with what you do to take care of yourself, I think I would have done something different. So 4 years after that burnout, when Ryan texts me and says, hey, this couple sold everything, they bought a boat. I'm like, yeah, you know what? This is the kind of stuff that we need to try.
Yeah.
This is what we need to do.
Yeah.
And here we are.
So we went all in.
Wow, that's amazing. And it's funny how we get stuck into old patterns. And I think just having that opportunity to have space to reflect and go, you know what, I don't think this is healthy for me. It's not productive in the long term. It's not sustainable. I need to make a lifestyle change. But as humans, I think we're so much into automation and we just groundhog day. Yes. We just keep doing the same thing. And I know your story is very similar to Arianna Huffington, who she also passed out from burnout.
Yes.
And it's a real thing, especially in the yachting industry with the long hours that we do. And I think other people are quick to say, oh, but maybe they're trying to find other justifications of why we're feeling the way that we're feeling. So you know, it's just yachting, it's just the hours, or maybe you need to look at your diet. It could be that, or it's just the stress, you know, you'll get over it. And it's,
do some yoga.
It's not the right answer. So just going, exploring your journey in a completely different environment, different world, where you have, you're sailing and you've just got all the space, you don't have all the distractions we have land-based. How does that impact your mental health? I'm sure there's positives, but then there might be some negatives as well.
Yeah. So I think that there is a big misconception that when you move on a boat, you're out of distractions, and that you're disconnected from the world, and that you can be at peace. And it's not what happens. A boat always needs to be tended to.
Right. It's like a, it's like living with a child, a newborn.
except if you can, it's socially accepted that you can sell the boat. You could not do that with a child.
You've had enough.
But the boat always breaks, always needs to be cared for. There is always something that needs to be fixed. The weather impacts our lives on a daily basis. So for example, today in the Azores where we are, it's very windy and there is a little bit of swell coming in the marina. Usually when we're in marinas, we're fairly protected, but because of the wind and the swell, our dock lines are really snapping and we're tugging against the dock.
Yeah, and I think like there's the aspect of a lot less space, so you're on top of the people that you're with all the time, especially if you're live aboard. There's I think more to what Sophie's describing is that some days you're just so tired, you're on anchor, you're really tired, and all you want to do is just get a good night's sleep, and then at 3 a.m. it's always at 3 a.m. something happens and you're up in your underwear on the deck trying to deal with it. And it's probably raining and a whole bunch of other crap going on. And so you get maybe like 2 or 3 hours of sleep. And the question comes so often, why are we doing this to ourselves? You know, and it puts a strain. And there is a good reason why I think we're doing it, because the days that are great are, it's like a whole nother level of great, something that you don't get on land, I think. So the highs are really high and the lows are really low. And I don't think those like low lows were what I was expecting when we left.
So the short answer here is that there is no such thing as really being disconnected, because you are connected to something that's completely different and that always needs to be tended to, and that can become overwhelming.
So Ryan, what about your experience with mental health issues? And I know that you have connected with a lot of fellow travelers and started to have these discussions, and I know this is something that you're both passionate about. So what do you have to share about that? What's your insights?
When we started sailing, I noticed like I was getting a lot of anxiety, a lot of these like feelings of like I can't sleep, I'm overly focused on things that we could say like the bad things, are overly preparing or snapping at Sophie, you know, just for little things, because I'm anxious about
you were stuff. Really stressed and really irritable.
Yeah, especially the
very specific situations.
And so I started asking myself, because they were feelings I had in the past in like other careers, which we can talk about in a second. But I was really like, what is going on with me? Like, what is this feeling? And so when I started looking back on it and my life, you know, I went to college, and after college, I went to college for commercial aviation. So I was flying planes, and I flight instructed when I was 19 years old. And then I was in the Air Force when I was 22 years old flying. And I realized that I had a lot of those similar feelings back then before, you know, like a big flight or a check ride, I would get really anxious and I might get really testy with somebody around me. That's why a lot of times I would be isolated. I would be by myself. I would be on my own. I didn't want anybody around. And I do that with Sophie a lot too. I'm like, you just don't need to be near me right now. But what I learned, look, looking at it was that, looking back on it, was that when I was flying, it would maybe be like a day or half a day before a big flight that I would be anxious about something. And then we would do that flight, and it was a couple hours long. And then I would go home and I could just relax for the rest of the day. And it was like situation normal. You know, there might, like, this big important check ride doesn't come for a little bit longer. I don't have to be stressed for a while. But what happened in sailing was that it was our life. I stepped into an environment that
it doesn't end.
The anxiety never ended because we left, you know, before we leave, I was like, okay. And you have to remember, we were really new to this too. So I'm stepping into a thing that I didn't know much about, but I want to have control because that's kind of how I was brought up in the aviation world. So we would go sailing. I was stressed about that. We would go on anchor. I'd be stressed about that. Something would happen in the night. I mean, and you can't get a break from it.
Because the boat always needs to be tended to.
Yeah. And so that, like, when I realized that, I was like, holy crap. Okay. This is what's going on. And then I asked myself, why is this going on? Why do I have like the feeling like this? And it became pretty apparent to me pretty fast. It was like this expectation that it's not just the sailing world. It's any type of what I would call like a performance driven world. Mm-hmm. A lot of athletes have this problem as well, is that the expectations put on you from society or from the industry that you're in, especially when you're a man, are really, really great. So aviation and the military, and there's a reason for it, but you're expected to perform, and you're expected to perform at a really, really high level. And if you show any weakness to the cadre of people that are around you, that you're scared or that you have doubts about something, or you're showing anxiety, that's viewed as a sign of weakness in the industry. And it's actually not weakness, but we're all programmed to think that. And it's the same in sailing. So like, guys are expected to be the captain. Guys are expected just to go out and know what they're doing. And when I realized that, I started just to have some conversations with old flying friends and with sailors that we met, guys that I kind of connect with a little bit. And I realized, like, whoa, this other person is feeling the same way I feel. This isn't just isolated to me. And that was a big eye-opening moment for me. Like, okay, I'm not alone here. Actually, a lot of people feel this way. A lot of my flying friends back in college felt the exact same way. And we never, ever talked about it.
Yeah. And all this happens in the context of you and I having this YouTube channel where we decide that we're going to be open about the things that are not always great. And the backlash was fierce when we talked about how your anxiety manifested itself.
Yeah. Like, because we would show on our YouTube channel before I really realized what was going on, we would show like some of the anxiety, some of the, you know, how I might lash out at Sophie or how I might be like super stressed about something.
Which is not great. Okay. We're going to put it out there.
No, it's not great. Like it's a bad thing to do, but it's there. The comments people would make about it was like, you're just an asshole. And yeah, I might've been acting like an asshole, but it, that's not what was really going on. So,
it's a journey.
It was a journey.
Yeah. So then how did you manage your anxiety moving forward? What tools did you learn? And as a male, how did you start initiating these conversations with other individuals?
So how do I deal with it? I think that's still a work in progress. Yes. It's still self-discovery.
You went to therapy.
Which, yeah.
You know, when you're a man saying, I'm going to therapy, there is still a huge, not a backlash, but a stigma that, you know, men, like if you go to therapy, you're weak or something. And so you did that and you went to two therapists.
Yeah.
You went to a performance coach who works with athletes.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that was kind of like an idea I had last summer because it was like, I don't know if I need to go talk about my childhood. I think I need to go and talk about, which I did. I went and found a therapist to go do that. But it's like, what is sailing and what is flying? And then I realized it's performance sports. It's just like a swimmer in the Olympics or, you know, a gymnast in the Olympics.
Well, with a level of danger, because when you're flying and when you're sailing, there is an element of, if you do something wrong, your life depends on it. And the life of the people that are in your aircraft or in your boat depends on your performance.
A lot of pressure.
That raises the stakes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I reached out to a performance coach in Stockholm who works with like Olympic level swimmers. And I said, hey, I think there's like a correlation here. Do you think you could work with me a bit on how to work with my anxiety? And she was great, absolutely great. And it was a lot of it. It was a lot more of like, instead of me pushing away the anxiety or trying to say like, this doesn't exist, it was more me learning how to live with it and accept it a bit and say like, this is here, this is real, this is how I feel, how to communicate with Sophie that I feel this way and how that can be acceptable. And then just work with there. And what I've found is that when I do those things and I sit with it, or I tell Sophie, listen, I'm really anxious right now, I just need to like, I need some time just to sit with it, that like kind of the beast, the anxiety beast just goes away. Cause it almost gets bored, you know, like when I'm sitting there and it's in and I'm like trying to do these things to like push it away or like work, you know, make it better. It's like feeding on itself. And if I just say, well, look, you're here right now, I'm just going to sit here and not do anything, it seems to just get bored and go away. So,
Yeah. It's interesting. Cause I'm a counselor and I've noticed in the past couple of years, I've had more of a 50-50 ratio with females and males coming to counseling. Whereas like prior to that, it was mostly female. So it's only in recent times I've noticed a significant change. And I do have a soft spot for men because of the stigma that's so attached about, you know, being male and you gotta harden up and showing your emotions or crying is weak, which is crap. I worked with men in prisons for almost 5 years. And to deal with the culture of what I've just mentioned, hardening up, prison, you are hard as ever. So of course you would never show emotion in prison, but we created that degree of safety in the room for them to feel. And some of them haven't felt anything for decades because they've been masking it with drugs. Yeah. And it was such a beautiful thing to witness the pain, even though to see them in pain was so incredibly painful for myself. But then also I had a 24-year-old that came up running to me in the prison yard. He said, Kareen, I cried. But I cried tears of joy and I didn't know that was possible. I didn't know that was a thing, you know, just basic human emotion. And it's so wonderful to see that through having conversations like what we're having today, men, female, you know, they are more inclined to now talk about it because we're normalizing. We're showing up and saying, hey, I'm not perfect. This is what I struggle with. And our listeners or viewers go, oh my gosh, I thought it was just me. I'm not the only one. Let's talk about it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think what I found, it, like sailing, you know, everybody talks about, oh, the worst thing is coming into the marina to dock the boat. And it is, it's like super stressful. But when Sophie and I started sailing, we knew nobody else in sailing. So here we are in Stockholm, which is also a foreign country to us. And we're trying to learn this skill, this craft in an area with very, very skilled sailors. And you want to talk about feeling alone. And then the first year we have our boat, we like smash it up really good.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, then the more I started talking to people about it, they're like, oh yeah, I did that too. Or, oh, I've done that so many times. And it's like, wait a sec, why does nobody say this? It's like, they laugh at you when you do it, but it's like, we've all done it.
And because the boat, you know, taking care of a boat and being in those situations all the time, and it's always something new. It's docking, it's the weather, it's sailing, it's being out, it's your planning, it's things breaking. The boat has the gift to make you feel inadequate. And because it's so many systems to learn. It's the toilets, the plumbing, the electricity, the sails, the rigging, the things breaking that you don't even know what has broken, but something clearly doesn't work. And you work at it for 3 days and you're like, oh my God, like, and it's an environment in which you have really have to learn to develop shame resilience and accept that things will not always be perfect. You will not always be perfect or have the perfect reaction. And what we learn to do is to climb back from that hole of feeling inadequate and feeling shame. And it's not something that's talked a lot like about in sailing, in the sailing world.
One thing that just popped into my mind was, you know, in the Olympics that just went on here in Tokyo, the American gymnast Simone Biles I was a gymnast when I was a kid, and so she said she was talking about how she didn't want to compete anymore because she's getting to that age where she realizes like this is actually dangerous stuff and you really need to be on top of it. And so she pulled out and she got a lot of crap about that, but I could really relate with her in that moment because I remember that age I got to in gymnastics where I was like, this is dangerous. And when that got into my head, I was done. You know, I was just, you couldn't compete at a level that you wanted to.
Yeah.
And she just happened to hit that right when she got to the Olympics. And that was also like, I think a big moment with mental health that, I mean, she's a woman, but still she came out as like, she's the best athlete on the planet. And she's like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
I'm done. Somebody else needs to do it for me. Cause I thought that was
Simone Biles collectively released the pressure valve for all of us.
For a lot of people, I think so. Mm. Yeah.
So how did you end up having the conversation with your past colleagues in aviation? Because you mentioned to me before about, you know, you were all struggling with anxiety or some sort of mental health issue, but it was never spoken about. So years later, how did that come up?
That's a really good question. I think what I did when I realized the feelings that I was having in sailing, I made a few phone calls to just some really good aviation friends of mine. And I said, hey, look, like, did you ever feel this way when we were, you know, in college? And they're like, oh yeah, absolutely. And I said, why didn't we talk about it back then? And then we both knew the answer. It was like, well, that wasn't the socially accepted thing to do. And there's nobody there to even support that. We had a flight surgeon at our college who was there to make sure you were physically and I guess mentally fit, but he wasn't there to be your counselor if you were having a bad day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if anything, you may even be
disqualified,
discouraged to go in and have a discussion about that. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're really anxious? Like, maybe you shouldn't be actually flying a plane. So then you see that this little bit comes up. It's like, well, you have to protect your career also. So let's just bite your tongue and not say anything. Where in reality, you really need to have an outlet. And that's just not totally built into that culture yet. And mm-hmm. I'd say in aviation or in sailing or any of those worlds, it's just not there. So yeah, that's how we started the discussion. And well, it's just starting, I'd say.
Yeah, I think you were very blunt and just like starting to call all of your old pilot friends and be like, hey, like I have those feelings. Have you ever experienced that?
And yeah.
It was cool because like you would always come back from those phone calls to me and talk about what happened and this revelation that you had that, oh my God, I'm not alone.
Yeah, and in the military, the military is a little bit different of an animal because the level of responsibility you have is like so much exponentially higher. But when in training, it was just like, it was drilled into you that if you do something right, that's expected. And if you do something wrong, you have failed. So you see, there's a flat line where it's just everything's expected. And if you do something over that, well, that was expected too. But if you do something under that, well, you're a failure. And you need to fix it. And if you don't fix it the next time, you might be out of here. And that was something that was drilled into my head because I was so young when I went through that process that when it comes to Sophie and I being on the boat, sometimes she will do something amazing and spectacular. I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, well, great, I do that too. And but then if she messes something up, I'll be like, we messed this up. And it's not fair to her, and it's not fair to me, because I treat myself the same way as well. But that, you know, when I realized that was going on, I was like, whoa, this is really screwed up. This is really screwed up.
Yeah. And it's interesting. It's the same in yachting. I think land-based companies are more forward thinking. And in our yachting industry, we're heading in that direction. But yeah, I can still see there's a lack of psychoeducation around mental health issues. If someone is erratic, they get described or labeled as having bipolar, and their job is on the line, as you mentioned, you know. So then people have to suffer even longer in silence. Mm-hmm. And I've had to deal with a number of crew who are at risk of suicide, and mm-hmm. there's a lot of shame and guilt for them around that too. But I think as a society, or as a smaller yachting community, we do need to advocate for this change. So from your experience, what change would you like to see, and what is your mission?
Well, for me personally, it's just starting a conversation with men and just getting it out there and saying, like, guys, you are not alone in this, and you shouldn't feel alone with this. It's okay to talk about it. And so I'm not saying, oh, we should build a website and have weekly meetings. I'm just saying that conversation needs to start. And if I can be the one to start that through, you know, a medium that we've built for ourselves in sailing, then at least I think we're giving something back to the sailing world, which mm-hmm. would be great. So that's, I think, our goal with it. And it's not just related to me. Sophie, you've gone through a lot of your stuff, and we have our own, like, as a couple, our own challenges as well, just living in these small spaces. So we have our own counselors, and then we have our own couples counselor that we see.
Awesome. As well. I love that. I love that. And Sophie, with regards, you mentioned to experiencing depression before starting sailing. Have you had any bouts of depression since?
Oh yeah, absolutely. We actually had to delay our departure by a year because I had a relapse. And that is something that I really want to put out there. If you are considering going on a sailing adventure or going through a big life change, becoming a digital nomad and have a life that involves a lot of traveling, I would really urge you to deal with your bout of depression or anxiety, because being far away in foreign countries, isolated from family and friends, in an environment that can be overwhelming because we know nothing, and having to deal with anxiety and depression on top of that is really, really difficult. And I'm sure that for some people, it can be a bit of an outlet, you know, to be in a new place. And but what I found is that being in a place where I feel very isolated, where I don't have friends, where I don't have family, maybe my family is another time zone, I can't call my friends all the time. I do not have an outlet outside of Ryan, who is the only person that's close to me. Mm-hmm. It can be really difficult to deal with. It can feel very lonely. Mm-hmm. And so if you're considering leaving, go to a therapist before.
I mean, you had some struggles during COVID lockdown.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a big, during the COVID lockdown.
Yeah.
When was that?
It was one and a half years ago, Ryan.
It's going on so long.
March 2020.
We were in St. Martin and locked down on our boat for 3 months, essentially. And for
It sounds really dreamy, but it was not.
So for a lot of our friends and family, they were like, well, at least you're locked down in paradise, but we weren't. I mean, we were locked on our boat in the middle of a lagoon, and we really couldn't get off to do much except go get groceries.
When you say lagoon, you imagine the crystal clear blue water, but no, it's where the island dumped its sewage. Okay. I just wanted to point that out.
So, I mean, you really, I didn't struggle as much as you, but you really, really struggled through that. And I think that put you into
absolutely.
Yeah. So that's kind of a very extreme thing. I don't think any of us planned on a big global pandemic happening when we go out sailing, but, you know, it's the world throws things at you, and it throws that at us. And it was a hard thing to work through. Yeah.
It just highlights how much you do need to be on top of your mental health and do a lot of that inner work as well. Because what I'm hearing is that you have been consistent and persistent in managing your mental health. You haven't given up on yourselves, but you also need to be very much aware of what your triggers are and learn. And it sounds like, by the sounds of things, that's what you've done. Learn how to communicate.
Yes.
What you're feeling. And
one of the great gifts of our lives as it is right now is that we can live with intention. And so we get to decide how we're going to live, what we're going to do, when we're going to do it. And we really get to set priorities, because we are so free that we need to do this for ourselves. We don't have a job that tells us this is your quarterly objective. This is where you're going to be spending all your days. This is where you go. No, we get to do all of that for ourselves. Yeah. And it's a work in progress, but when you have so much freedom, you tend to go towards big work objectives. So big destination objectives, big sailing objectives, big professional commitments. And really what we are learning to do now is to have objectives that are more in terms of joy. How do we cultivate joy in our relationship? How do we make sure that if we have like a mental, not a mental breakdown, but if we end up in a dark place, we get out of it? And so we've really decided to be open about it between the two of us. And that has been, the difference that it makes in your life when you know that you live with mental health problems, the quality of life that you get out of it is just fantastic.
That's great to hear. It's always good to have hope as well, because I think when you're in a dark place, you lose it and you feel helpless and hopeless. So that's why, again, sharing your personal story can have such a big ripple effect. I want to thank you both, Sophie and Ryan, for A, sharing your story, but B, also being so raw and transparent on social media. I know it's so hard to put yourself out there, your story out there, and also perhaps the not so pretty side of yourself when you're experiencing mental health issues and, you know, exposing yourself to judgments and comments, like you mentioned earlier, is not easy. So thank you for doing that. I think it's so courageous of you. Now, how do people find you?
So if you are interested in seeing like the good sides of what we do and when we have fun and how we love what we're doing, you can find ourselves on YouTube at Ryan and Sophie Sailing. We also have a website at ryanandsophie.com. And I mean, generally, if you Google Ryan and Sophie, you'll find us.
Yeah.
Oh, amazing. Well, thank you so much for your time. And I
thanks so much, Karen.
Yeah. All the very best on your ventures. I'll certainly be following you. And I cannot wait. After this call, I'm going to Google Anzos. Is that where you are?
Azores. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I'm going to Google it and have a look. So it sounds like tropical paradise, and I feel like I need really to go there right now. Yeah. So yeah, thank you so much for your time, and take care.
Thanks so much, Gary. Have a good day.